Good evening, folks. I believe the microphones are on. Yes, they are. Again, a warm welcome to all of you. Tonight's committee of the whole meeting is called to order. I must apologize first for being a little bit late. We had a meeting down there, and Joe Stanton would not stop talking. It's unbelievable. Let the record show that all the aldermen are present this evening. We have a lengthy agenda, but we anticipate as exciting an evening as it was when the University of Northern Iowa defeated Kansas.
Yes.
Wasn't that great?
That was great.
Oh, yeah.
My son was ecstatic.
It's cool, isn't it?
Oh, my God. He was so ecstatic.
Item number two is the consent agenda. There's only one item marked with an asterisk, and that can be considered as routine since it is the minutes from March 8th. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Marks, second by Hill. Questions or comments? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Items of business, ladies and gentlemen. Item 4A, consider the request from the Geneva Chamber of Commerce for Swedish Day's street closures for June 22nd through the 27th, 2015.
Motion.
Second.
2010. See Judy go, whoa. There's a motion from, I believe it was Mr. Dantino, seconded by Mr. Piper. Questions for either Gene or Judy? The JJs.
I guess I'm going to ask one question.
Alderman Flanagan.
My normal question, have the businesses on Hamilton been notified and talked to? And
not yet, but once you approve this, they certainly will be.
Okay, thank you.
Promising good weather this year, Gene?
Judy's in charge of
Judy's. Way to delegate. Nice job. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor of item 4A, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you. 4B, consider request by the Child Advocacy Center, Kane County Advocacy Center, to hold Downtown Champions for Children Walk on May 15, 2010.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Pollack, seconded by Vogelsberg. Any representatives in the Advocacy Center here tonight? All of you should have received an email from Gene Fornari of the formal invitation that was sent to my attention. And we scanned that and sent it to all of you as well. So registration is 8:30 in the morning on the 15th, and the walk commences at 9. So if you're able to join us, if not for the walk, certainly for the celebration at the beginning, that'd be wonderful. We have a motion by Pollack, a second by Vogelsberg. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Moving along to item 4C, consider draft ordinance proposing the establishment of a special service area number 25 and related public hearing for 1000 Randall Road office building condominium.
Second.
That was a motion by Marks from the respective ward. That second was by Mr. Hill, nowhere near that ward. Did I mispronounce the word?
No, I just,
your articulation
was very impressive, yes.
Are there questions or comments regarding the action tonight? As stated, we're simply recommending the public hearing here on the special service area. All in favor of item 4C, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 4D, consider budget amendment to fiscal year 2009-10 general fund budget in the amount of $60 million, $60,000 for snow removal supplies.
So moved.
Second.
Brown makes the motion and Flanagan makes the second. Questions or comments? Mr. Dinges is... Oh, sir, welcome. You want to have a question or comment? Please join us at the podium.
It's kind of spontaneous, but...
That's good. We love spontaneity, except for Mr. Piper. He's nervous about that kind
Very
of stuff.
Nervous.
Does this include the amount supplied for salt to aid in supplying?
The short answer is yes, it does. I'm going to invite Mr. Dinges, our Director of Public Works, to join you as well. And, sir, just for the heck of it, we know your face, but sometimes we forget your name.
Okay. I'm Bob Knox. I live on North First Street along the river.
It includes salt for every street except for First Street. Mr. Dinges, would you like to elucidate?
All right, very, very quickly. runner, and I leave First Street. I run up into St. Charles partway and then back onto Geneva and run home. And what I've noticed significantly and consistently is that the streets in St. Charles in the wintertime are cleaned faster and cleaner and drier than they are in Geneva. I mean, you can tell the boundary between the two cities very clearly. A couple of years ago, I made a point of this and called the city here and asked about it. And I was told that the budget for salt was not inadequate. The problem is not how they set the plows, but it's how they can spread the salt ahead of time so that the plows are more effective. They do their clearing. And I said, well, do you think that next year you'll have a better budget? He said, I'm going to request that. I believe he did not get it. And so as long as, I was here for another reason, but as long as it came up, I wanted to make the point that apparently St. Charles is doing a better job because they use more salt. That's not necessarily an intelligent conclusion, but it seems to be my conclusion. I can tell you very clearly, even through this past winter also, a clear difference in the streets here in Geneva compared to St. Charles. The streets are more filled with packed snow and not as clear as dry, and it takes sometimes several days before the streets in and I'm not talking about the main streets, I'm talking about typical neighborhood streets.
Sure.
So just to point to those in charge that hopefully we citizens and to clean our drier streets next winter.
Well, let me invite Mr. Dinges to respond to your comments and perhaps provide information for all of us. And just for the record, anytime I'm in St. Charles, I always run back to Geneva as quickly as I can.
Just in response to Mr. Knox, I'm surprised. We have a lot of compliments that Geneva's roads are much better than communities on the way to or through Geneva. So I guess, especially on the state routes, we do focus our attention on the snow routes, which First Street would be a snow route. I don't know what St. Charles program is. As far as residential streets, it's not necessarily the budget. It's more about being conservative and using salt on a low-volume traffic street. Salt is a contaminant that ends up into the Fox River. Everybody's pushing us to minimize salt, so on secondary streets where we don't feel it's as necessary on a low-volume street, we are using less on those streets. As far as what this $60,000 is going towards, it is the main portion of it is going towards salt, making sure that we have enough of it, especially with the last 3 years where we've used quite a bit because winters have been so productive.
And we'll be continuing to mix our salt, correct or incorrect, with, what was it?
Calcium chloride.
No, I know what salt is, but we're going to mix it with, like...
No, we add calcium chloride, which helps the range of temperatures for the salt.
Thank God my chemistry teacher's not here. Sodium chloride.
Sodium chloride.
That's why I'm not a doctor.
Geneva High School graduate, 19.
Yeah, I never graduated. Give me a break. As the former president of the school board can attest to. Any other questions for either or comments for Mr. Knox or for Mr. Dinges? Mr. Knox, we're considering a moratorium on all runners during the winter time. So,
sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. We accept your comments as they are given, and we will continue to put our best foot forward. So, we have a motion by Brown, a second by Flanagan. All in favor of item 4D, as in David, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 4E, consider budget amendment to fiscal year 2009-10 general fund budget in the amount of $6,000 for police department facility emergency repairs.
Move approval.
Second.
Hill makes the motion and Piper makes the second. Questions or comments? No cops, no guns. You can speak freely tonight. The memorandum pretty much explains it all, so all in favor of item 4E, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Item 4F, consider a request from Geneva History Center to allow, quote, community garden planting boxes on public right-of-way at 113 South 3rd Street.
So moved.
Second.
Flanagan makes the motion, and Hill makes the second. This was done last year. I know a great many compliments were provided to the History Center as well regarding the programs.
So. It worked out really well.
Yeah, really pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
I presume this is approximately the same size program as last year?
Right.
Sure is a problem then.
Yeah. No questions, no comments. We have the motion by Flanagan, the second by Hill. All in favor of item 4F, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 4G is to consider draft ordinance amending the Eaglebrook planned unit development to allow for automotive uses on Pod 3A of the Commercial Trust located at 1575 South Randall Road.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Marks, seconded by Mr. Pollack. Mr. Dick Unch, our Community Development Director, is with us this evening to add any additional information anyone is seeking. You all have before you the results of the Plan Commission meeting, the minutes thereof, and the fact that the recommendation came to us tied 3-3. Therefore, technically speaking, it's a negative recommendation. However, for process purposes, a simple majority of this council, or committee, is necessary to advance this to the council. Mr. Piper.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know it's probably 8 or 9 years ago that Nick and I, we spoke for a minute. This is a rodeo we've been to before. The biggest difference, as I recall, was the where the property was located was directly across the street or backed up to housing. This across in the park.
Right.
And that's already meets a lot of our requirements for not being seen with the berms. And we do have the agreement that they will keep their doors down. It's an air-conditioned unit, correct?
Yes, that's what's been represented by the applicant at the public hearing. The Plan Commission discussion went on at some length. I know Alderman Brown always asks me when there's a close vote, well, what was the Plan Commission really talking about, you know, during that? So I
just about that.
The main points, I think, to glean out of public hearing was that I really believe that the Plan Commission reviewed the petition, reviewed the 11 conditions that were recommended by staff as a part of the presentation at the public hearing. I think they believe that those conditions would mitigate the effects, if properly followed, of any potential negative effects of the use at the property on surrounding properties. I think they were a little uncomfortable with just the fact that there were 11 conditions proposed, a fairly long list. In retrospect, we actually worked at a staff level with the applicant, raising concerns prior to the public hearing being held, and working to place those conditions in what was actually a recommendation by staff at the hearing to incorporate those conditions, because we felt it was important to address some of the details of this operation as it related to traffic and accessibility and land use compatibility with the surrounding area. So that would be one thing. I think they were a little concerned about 11 conditions. I also think they were concerned about any precedent that this change to the Eaglebrook PUD allowing automotive uses would have. This amendment is for just Pod 3A within the Eaglebrook PUD, so it pertains to this side only. And again, that was discussed by staff prior to the hearing with the applicant, and we wanted to make sure that was clear. There were no objectors present at the hearing or gave testimony at the hearing, and I suspect it had something to do with the fact that the other than commercial uses, the only other abutting use would have been the park site there on Bent Tree Drive that would have been within the notice radius. So I think that might explain why we really didn't have any discussion from surrounding property owners.
Did the Park District attend?
No.
Thank you.
The only other comment I'd make is that there is a longstanding history of the city generally working toward non-automotive service type uses along its portion of Randall Road commercial use. And in 1995, we did adopt a B5 business district that's applied primarily to Randall Road. That zoning district, it doesn't apply here because we have an overriding annexation agreement and planned unit development that applies to the Eagle Brook PUD. Nonetheless, that B5 district intended to be applied to Randall Road does incorporate automotive service uses as a special use. And we're really in the midst of a special use amendment here for the planned unit development that's currently requested. The applicant is here this evening, and I believe there's some representatives from the company that would be utilizing this space. So if you have a need for more detailed information or have questions for the applicant, they're here also to address those.
Just to amplify what Mr. Runch said regarding the direction of the council to attempt to preclude automotive uses, I was not only alive back then, but involved in the process, and it primarily focused on gas stations for all practical purposes. So there was a concern over the percolation of gas stations up and down the Randall Road corridor. So just to clarify that. Questions for, and if the applicant wants to say hello, we can certainly direct questions toward Mr. Unge and or the applicant. So Mr. Marks has the floor.
Mr. Unge, question, you know those 11, rules or ideas that they have.
Conditions.
How enforceable are those conditions? And, you know, it seemed like it's going to be very hard to enforce those.
I suppose you can take that perspective from our staff perspective. We really like situations like this where we stipulate very specifically the conditions to be met in the special use. So if there is a problem with enforcement, I mean, we've got it right in here.
Okay.
And I think that's because of the level of detail here, I'm less concerned about enforceability or the ability to remedy a problem that might occur on the site. The other thing that's important to note here is that when the City Council approves a special use with these conditions, the lack of compliance with any of these conditions serves as a basis for revocation. And so this council can act if a problem arises in a very definitive way and basically nullify the ability to operate the use on the site.
Is that berm along the back of that building, is that city property or is that actually the property of the owners of that?
The overwhelming majority of it is on private property. I think if you got right to the toe of it in some areas, it might be right to the, you know, where the right-of-way starts for Bentry, but it's on primarily.
The reason I asked is because when I went past there yesterday, I did go over there and look at the building. There are a couple of holes within that berm, and I just didn't know if that was going to be patched up before. You can't drive around the back of that building anyways. It's all
right.
To the south and to the west of the that building is where all the traffic
Correct.
Is going to be. You can't get around that building.
Right.
The other thing I did like was Commissioner Jay Muffet's idea about the way the garbage containers are kept to make those that they swing out, because if you went there yesterday, they are swung in and they're wide open, and I think you're going to find a lot more waste with what's going in there than what is there right now.
Yeah.
So if we could incorporate that might be some help.
Okay.
That's all I have, Mayor.
Any other aldermen wish to ask questions of Mr. Unge and or the applicant? Oh, Alderman Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome.
The 3-3 vote is a short vote. Was there some members absent or not voting in the Planning Commission?
Two members absent and one abstained.
One abstained, yes.
Was that by chance the girls' regional championship game night?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You should know that answer, Mr. DeGroote. That's shameful you don't.
Does the abstain not count with the AIs, and hence, in some sense, we're not overruling the Plan Commission here?
It's my interpretation of Robert's rules that it does.
Yeah.
Anyway, that be what it may, the important thing is that we get this straight. And I would presume if they were minor problems, some neighbor, some shopper passes by and notices the problem, the first thing that happened is we would send our code enforcement officer
correct.
To, quote, job on the owner.
That's correct.
There was continuing problems. Would an ordinance violation be next on the list before the city council actually jumps in and executes?
We could go the route of local adjudication with our code adjudication hearing officer.
Does this qualify as an ordinance violation?
Sure.
Because this would be an ordinance.
Yes.
Okay. So there are steps that can be taken to warn the owner that somebody sees something that doesn't land. And most owners will immediately step forward and say, look, I'm in business. Somebody's got a problem. Let's fix it. So I don't see a problem with the 11 as you listed them because, as I suggest, this is just a way for the city to go in and tell the owner that, hey, somebody spotted something that maybe you didn't, and most owners will step forward. And since business, they're there for business, not to keep us happy. So anyway, thank you. That clears up two things that I had in my mind. Thank you.
Anyone else on the dais? Is there anyone in the audience? We have a motion by Marks.
We have some hands up here.
Just had one question.
Oh, yes, sir.
Did we reject an automotive request in the 1990s, similar to this, just north of Home Depot?
I don't know if it would have been in the 1990s. Or on my watch, Dean, we had a case, and I believe it was 03.
Correct.
And it was for another site. It would be further to the south of the Sports Authority.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Sports Authority. It was north of Home Depot, south of this proposed site. And the original recommendation, as you may recall, was for a hotel.
Yeah.
And the secondary request was for an automotive distributorship / what have you. And all, you know what broke loose? My humble opinion, based on emotions more than anything, and the applicant actually withdrew, I believe. It was not voted down. I believe they withdrew. They didn't want to deal with the...
My memory's a little hazy on the end. I just remember it was a tie vote also.
Well, I'm not going to ask DeGroote because he doesn't know a thing.
Well, it was pretty buzzing.
He's a dad now, for God. It makes you a grandpa.
He's only 8 now.
That's right.
Anyone else in the audience? We have a motion by Mr. Marks. We have a second by Mr. Piper. All in favor of item 4? No. Let's take a roll call on this, if you would, Madam Recording Secretary.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ray Pollack.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
The motion passes unanimously. Team who filled that building have experience before, and so we're looking forward to that, based on the vote of April 5, to welcome them to our community.
I say thank you.
The second gentleman?
Yes, Ed Wrighthand, Wrighthand Architects.
He's the one who controls the NCAA pool.
I already lost.
Yeah. Everybody else did too, I think.
Yeah.
So there's some remodeling in the insides mostly?
There's going to be very little remodeling, but it'll all be on the inside. If we need additional exhaust or HVAC to handle the situation, that might be added. But otherwise, everything will be inside.
You guarantee you produce no odors?
Is there an attorney present you may want to have answer?
This is a local joke. We have a problem in town.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Again, the motion carried unanimously, so this will be on the consent agenda on Monday, April 5. We move on to item 4H. consider draft ordinance for city-initiated zoning ordinance text amendments allowing single-family dwellings to be reconstructed, altered, expanded, or enlarged on non-conforming residential lots of record in the city of Geneva.
Second.
Hill makes a motion and Marks makes the second. You'll recall that this process has been moving forward for some time. We expanded, if you will, the original scope to include all properties throughout the community. There has been, I would argue, most people who are impacted by this are really champions of the change, as are, of course, our staff. So, but with that, I'll turn it over to Dick if there's anything new to add. Otherwise, there might be some residents here this evening as well who may want to comment. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, just a couple of main points to make is just that we met with residents in the area along North First Street. It was the genesis for looking at a concern that was in that section involved 24 properties. And through that discussion and concerns expressed about a rezoning in that area, we shifted to a different approach involving a zoning text amendment to deal with this issue comprehensively. And then our city planner, David DeGroot, and father, he does have some skills in the GIS area and got to work working with our GIS technician in the city hall here, and we came up with a more comprehensive look at what was going on with the zoning districts throughout the city and the relationship of each of those districts in terms of their lot area and lot width requirements and the actual lots that are within those areas. And we found 370 non-conforming lots with houses on them throughout the city. So we've gone through a process here of a lot of discussion. We've arrived at a point where we've got a text amendment that addresses this problem and essentially restores the ability for individuals that are non-conforming under our current regulations to be conforming with this amendment. And that's non-conformities with respect to either lot size or lot width, the significant or street frontage. The importance of this is by acting on this this ordinance amendment, those non-conforming situations right now, if the property were either destroyed by fire or by a tornado or some other calamity, technically those folks would not be able to rebuild their home. But under this amendment, that takes care of that problem.
It's not unfair to state that this is principally a housekeeping issue that we discover after the fact. So,
correct.
Alderman Vogelsberg, Alderman Dantino.
Thank you, Mayor. I was just going to thank you guys for expanding this, the scope of it, and doing all the work for it, because I do think this is a positive change. And, you know, when people come to Plan Commission, house as it stands, you would be able to rebuild it. So I think that's a positive change, and thank you for getting that taken care of.
Mr. Dantino, then Dr. Brown.
Dick, the 24, I know you've met a lot of times with the 24 homeowners. None of the other 346 homeowners came forward, or were they notified at all?
They were not notified. What we're doing is we're actually restoring a right that was taken away from them in 1995.
I understand that,
yeah.
But
they were not.
Okay. So if somebody has a house 6 feet from their lot line or whatever, and it's destroyed by fire, they would not be able to rebuild because it's 6 feet from their lot line?
Well, it depends on the zoning district that they're located in. That would determine whether there would be a conformity or not. On the 6 foot example, because we've got side yard setbacks of 20, 12, 8, and 6. So,
so let's change that.
It depends on the district.
Okay.
Depends on the district. But under this provision, you'd be able to rebuild and be able to rebuild at with a side setback requirement that's consistent with the width and setback requirements of the various single family zoning districts.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Brown?
Thank you. I'm going to ask you a question in public, which I've asked you in private, but I think I know some people have asked me. when we approached this, there were two possible routes we could have taken. One was to come up with a set of new minimum side setback requirements for non-conforming lots. The other direction would have been to grandfather the non-conforming setbacks in existing homes and lots, which the first one has a problem that if someone has a 7-foot non-conforming setback in this, they could decrease it to 6 feet, whereas under the other proposal, which would be just to grandfather the existing non-conforming setback, would force them to stay at the non-conforming 7 feet. Right. It's sort of equivalent to where many cities have the proposal that you can rebuild on your original foundation. It's in order to cover this problem. But that has the problem you can't expand the house.
That's correct.
Whereas what I would like to see is you can expand the house as long as you don't decrease any of the existing non-conforming setbacks. So there was those two possibilities. And I know before you came up with an argument as to why your solution is slightly better, and I can't remember
what
it was.
The reason very simply is that that option of just being able to rebuild wherever your setback is, it introduces it tampers with some very basic zoning principles, because all of our property in the city within the corporate limits has a zoning classification, and to that zoning classification there are our minimum setbacks, there are minimum lot areas, there are minimum lot coverage requirements, minimum floor area ratio requirements, and everyone is living by the same rules within the context of each individual zoning district. If we start just grandfathering in every situation, and there's a range of situations out there that's all over the board in terms of these requirements, it begins to take some of the standards and principles that each zoning district regulation is based, and it just kind of blows it apart. So really my response is that in the interest of maintaining the integrity of our zoning districts and the regulations within them, I think this is an approach that
so you're saying it's like having 400 patches, what we have is three new requirements for non-conforming.
That's correct.
Lots.
Okay. That's correct.
I understand the argument now. Thank you. I will vote for it.
Alderman Flanagan, Alderman Pollack, and Alderman Marks.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just clarification, this in no way restricts or tampers with the infill.
No.
That's all I need to know. Thank you.
Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, Mayor. Dick, are there a number of houses that are now going to be non-conforming in those identifiable zones?
No. What we're doing is we're eliminating the non-conforming.
Right, exactly. But will there be any as a result of this?
There will be no new non-conformities created.
Will take care of it all.
That's correct.
Great. Thanks.
Alderman Marks.
Mr. Ernst, just one question. If the homeowner wishes to rebuild on their current foundation and their non-conformity, there is a mechanism for them to ask for a variance for that.
Yes,
correct?
That's correct.
I mean, this is not set in stone.
I was going to make that point. I'm glad you mentioned that. We have a zoning board of appeals, and we have a procedure that's followed where a property owner, if he applies for a building permit, say, to rebuild on his property, and it doesn't say that it's on the foundation, and the foundation is at a 4-foot setback rather than the required 6-foot setback, say in that example. Bless you. The zoning officer would refuse that building permit, which then triggers that applicant to request a variation. Now, there are variation standards that need to be met. It's not a case of just granting the variation.
But there is a mechanism for them to do that.
There's a vehicle. That is correct.
And so, for everybody right now, this is pretty much a win-win.
We think it is very much a win-win.
It sounds like it. I mean, unless somebody can point something out. But there is a mechanism, if someone really wants to rebuild what they can, that they can at least come forward and try to change that.
Yeah. Okay. If I can just add, I was pretty surprised that we found 370 nonconformities. And it really is a product of GIS technology that wasn't present within the city back in 95 when the zoning ordinance was done. What the zoning ordinance that we currently have in place did is it said if you met, it says now, if you meet 80% of the bulk regulations in a particular district, you're still considered conforming. But those 370 don't meet 80% of the requirements. So that was really an effort back then to kind of cover our bases in case we had a misfit between the regulations and existing development. From what we can see here, this is clearly getting back to a kind of a basic zoning ordinance principle that you would grandfather in lots of record as of the date of the adoption of the prior ordinance. And we checked a number of municipalities in Naperville and Sugar Grove, and I think St. Charles and Batavia all have a provision that basically accepts lots of record by a specific date as a buildable lot. Our ordinance right now does not do that.
But this does that.
This changes it back. Changes. Right.
I was amazed when I looked at the map. This is spread out throughout the whole city. This is not in one certain area. I mean,
that's right.
There are some newer properties in here that do not meet that also.
Right.
So it's. I think it's a good idea to clean this up. I don't have anything else, Mayor.
Alderman Vogelsberg is
sure I can vote,
probably
even
best
though
that,
it's a citywide.
Probably best that you do not.
Oh, my gosh, it's like Radovich is here.
according to our records, they'll be thrown out of your home shortly anyway, so it's probably best you don't. But Mrs. McKittrick advises you not to vote. So.
Thank you.
And abstain, or obviously to recuse is too late, so she would have told us earlier.
Well, I thought since it was a citywide thing that it was, mm-hmm. didn't matter, it wasn't mm-hmm. specific.
An abstention would be in order, unless you wish to challenge. We have a motion by Hill and a second by Marsh. Is there anyone in the audience with any questions or comments regarding this matter? Mr. Knox.
I don't know. I'm pretty happy with it.
I guess there's two of us from the original group of 24 along the river.
Yes, sir.
And, I'm here to say something good and complimentary about the Zoning Commission, Mr. DeGroote in particular, the friendly and cordial and open way that this matter was handled. We originally received a letter in the mail, all of us that lived along the river, saying that the proposition was to rezone us from R1 to R3. Which brought a very negative response from the neighbors. So we had several meetings among the residents there and finally drafted a letter which was sent in. And apparently that letter or something triggered a light bulb going off with the zoning board and has finally researched this matter and come to what we consider to be a very favorable recommendation. So we want to speak in favor of that recommendation and also compliment the folks involved for taking it seriously, listening to us residents, and responding in a very positive way. And to all of you, we hope that you acknowledge that and our appreciation of the work that these folks did to bring this forward. Last but not least, because I don't want to leave being viewed as a chronic complainer about the snow plowing.
See, Mr. Knox, we've actually videotaped you for the last 20 minutes, so you're not going to be able to go anywhere in town.
For all those years that I've been a winter runner, I've had to take to the streets because the rest of the time I run on the bike trails.
Sure.
through St. Charles and home. And it's delightful to run in the summertime, but not in the wintertime. But this winter, for the very first time in all those years, somebody took a snowplow to the snow on the bike trail in Wheeler Park. And I don't know if that's happening citywide, but that's wonderful, because there's an awful lot of people who walk or run along the bike trails in the wintertime.
Sure.
And they just have to tramp through 2 feet of snow unless somebody takes the time to try to remove that. They did it this winter. It was delightful, and we hope it keeps up.
We'll pass our compliments along, I believe, to the Park District.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Knox, just out of curiosity, how many miles a week do you log in running?
I run 4 miles every day.
And why?
Mr.
Pollack's a runner as well. So.
Why not?
Well, you know, there's nothing like going for a run. And Mayor, I would invite you to join us.
Whoa.
Mrs. Keenan, is there something funny back there? Your item hasn't even been discussed yet. That's pretty impressive, sir.
Thank you.
75.
Yes, that's a good reason.
7 times 4, that's like 28 miles a week.
That's a good reason, because he looks so fit and fit at 75.
No kidding? 75 years old?
Yes.
Wow.
So that's a good reason.
That is a good reason.
And the ambulance was good.
So apparently those filtered cigarettes aren't all the rage after all. Kids watch the joke. Okie dokie. Any other questions or comments? Mr. Knox, thank you very much for your compliment. Appreciate it. We have a motion by Hill and Marks. All in favor of item 4H, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Abstain.
And did anyone abstain?
Because of that?
No. Okay. Both still looked at a roll call council, but one abstention by Alderman Vogelsberg. Despite her catcalling during the process. Well, this will be a good one. The laughing lady, Mrs. Keenan, is up. 4I, item 4I, consider draft ordinance requesting a special use permit in the B3 business district to allow for a professional office to operate on the first floor located at 325 South Street.
Move referral.
Second.
Hill makes the motion and Vogelsberg makes the second. We, of course, have Mrs. Keenan, who is present this evening. The building owner, Mr. Simon, is here as well. Are there any questions from anyone on the dais for either Mr. Unch and or the so-popular Mr. DeGroot? What are you sitting in the back for, man? Usually nobody sits next to Mike Simon. What are you sitting in the back for? Alderman Brown.
Just a curiosity, was this house originally a mother-in-law suite or a garage, or what was it? Because it's actually part of the 427 property, isn't it? It's 4th Street?
I really don't know. I've only owned it for about 10 years, and it was a stand-alone residence when I purchased it. I assumed it was one of the...
A single-family residence?
Yeah, there was a apartment.
I presume it's the same lot of record, is it not, Mr. Ench?
Yeah.
It is 427 South 4th, not 325 South Street. Yeah. How does what we pass have to recognize both of those, because one's a lot of record and the other's a postal address? Or?
Well, there are two properties on them.
Properties, but there's one lot of record.
Yeah, but is it two lots? I don't think it's two lots.
No,
it's
one lot.
It's one lot. Yeah. Yeah. So, and this special use applies to the subject realty, which would be the entire property.
And you and Chuck Radovich will make sure the wording is correct, so we don't end up doing the wrong ones or the wrong house.
Chuck is always making sure things are correct.
That was a backhanded compliment, Mr. Unch, I believe. Any other comments from the dais?
0.5.
Mrs. Keenan, would you like to
welcome her?
Introduce yourself to everybody. If you do, you have to join us at the podium, though.
Yeah, come on up.
Yeah, come on.
Do they have to be professional questions? There's some things I'd like to ask Teresa.
Unless you want me to turn the camera off.
Kevin, does Mike own the entire lot or just that one building?
Mr. Simon, do you own the entire lot?
Yeah,
of course. So one with deja vu and all that good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Teresa Keenan, ladies and gentlemen, depending on our vote tonight.
I'm Teresa Keenan, owner of Stone Tower Properties.
and we're looking forward to making our move over to South Street, if possible. I'd like to thank you all for your consideration in our matter.
Where are the boys tonight?
Oh, the boys are all home.
Are they watching on TV?
Are we on TV?
Yep.
Sure.
Oh. Yes.
Well, thank
every
you for
day,
listening.
Like 1 in 7, they can catch it.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in, sir. We appreciate your support.
I'm sure they're on YouTube right now.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Is Macy watching her mom tonight?
Macy had a killer basketball game that I missed half of to come tonight, so I'm hoping she's home celebrating right now. So.
She can see it Wednesday, right? What time are we on Wednesdays?
I think we're 4 hours, 4 times a day, man.
Yeah.
Now we're in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he did it now. Yeah. TV time out.
Come up.
Teresa, thank you very much. Yes, you are on TV.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
We have a motion on the floor. We have a second. Questions have been asked and answered. All in favor of item 4I, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Motion is unanimous. Teresa and Mike, this will be on the consent agenda on April 5. So... Item 4J, consider draft resolution authorizing extension of professional services agreement with Applied Ecological Services Incorporated in the amount not to exceed $12,175 for the 2010 wetland and vegetation monitoring services at Prairie Green Preserve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Flanagan, seconded by Piper. Just as a reminder, based on recent legislation passed by this council, the item for discussion tonight is not necessarily the amount of the contract, but the contract itself. So if there's any comments regarding the language contained in the contract, I'm certain that Director Unch would be happy to deflect or respond. I'm sorry, Don, is everything okay with you? Good? Who wants to start the meetings earlier? Are you going to abstain from this, too, since you might be? We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 4K, consider draft resolution authorizing professional services agreement with Applied Ecological Services Incorporated in the amount not to exceed $16,053 for wetland maintenance service at Prairie Green Preserve.
So moved.
Second.
Vogelsberg makes the motion. Dantino makes the second. The same rules apply to item 4K as did 4J. Questions regarding the contract itself? All in favor of the motion as offered by Vogelsberg and seconded by Mr. Pollack.
Thank you, Mayor. On the summary sheet, the estimated cost is $11,375.
If I might interject, that's an error. The actual amount is $16,053.
On the agenda is correct.
That's correct.
Okay. So strike the $11,000.
That's correct.
Replace it. Okay. Thank you.
Anything else? Offered by Vogelsberg, seconded by Dantino. All in favor of item 4K, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Item 4L. Consider draft resolution authorizing the extension of professional services agreement with Applied Ecological Services Incorporated in the amount not to exceed $11,375 for prairie maintenance services at the water treatment plant and Prairie Green Preserve.
So moved.
Second.
Brown makes the motion. Marks makes the second. Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Mayor. Does this include any of the property that is owned by the county for the county animal control building there?
It does not.
Okay.
So just our property. Just our property.
Okay. Do they have much dirt outside of their side of their building and their parking lots and all that stuff? Or?
They have, actually, their property, as I recall, their property has a fence around it.
Yeah.
I think there's some front area that's part of their ownership that's just turf area.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Oh, Mr. Marks.
Mayor, just one question. Since this is split out between Prairie Greens and the Water Department, does the fee get also split, or is it all paid from the Prairie Green Fund?
It gets split.
Okay, thank you, that's all.
Well, I take it back. It's in our capital budget.
Oh, it's capital. Okay, that's fine.
Any other questions? Item 4L was offered by Dr. Brown, seconded by Alderman Merks. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Item 4M, consider declaration of surplus property and related draft ordinance for the sale of property at 215 Campbell Street.
So moved.
Second.
You don't want to be first.
Pawlak makes the motion, and good God, Vogelsberg makes the second? Questions or comments? We have a brief edification by Mrs. McKittrick, who is handing out. This is Teresa Keenan's job. She's handing out real estate information.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just passing this information along. This is from the Geneva Township website. Alderman Singer had asked a question about the value of the property at one time when we were discussing this potential action. So I just wanted to provide that information to you.
Questions or comments for Mrs. McKittrick? Alderman Marks?
Mary, do we have a minimum bid on this? Or
we don't.
Okay.
We do
that's
not.
All, that's the only question I have.
Alderman Pawlak, then Singer.
Thank you, Mayor. Mary, is there a time period?
There is not.
Mr. Singer?
Yes. The indication is that the property is being declared.
Mr. Singer, is your microphone on?
Yes, it is. Oh, here we go.
You've been so focused on golf, you forget to...
Won't be long. you are going to be selling the residence, which means that someone may purchase a residence, but they must move the resident to a location as to where they so choose.
Correct.
Yes.
That's what our goal is, to have the residents moved and have the cinder block garage structure demolished. And the remains removed.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Dr. Brown.
Thank you. Question to Ms. McKittrick. Since these monies came out of SSA number one, does any proceeds go back into SSA number one?
I would believe that they should, yes.
Thank you.
We have a motion offered by
Ms. Fat again.
Piper, I believe. Pawlak, seconded by Vogelsberg. All in favor of item 4M, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? New business, ladies and gentlemen of the audience. Any new business or any comments or questions? Or we have a very distinguished guest here in the second row. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were somebody else. How are you doing?
Fine.
Good? Anyone? Mr. Kilberg? Boviak? Nothing?
Did you bring your husband?
No. Apparently she's out alone tonight. I saw your KFC email. Very clever. I like that. Stanton? From the base. Alderman Flanagan.
I would just like to wish a belated happy birthday to our Alderman Ron Singer. Mm-hmm. He celebrated his birthday last week, Friday.
Oh.
All right.
The 19th?
I don't know. Yeah, the 19th, but I don't think he's 19.
Yes. St. Joseph's Day.
He's 20.
78.
No, really.
You don't run, do you run?
I run 5 miles a day.
After a golf ball.
Exactly. In the woods, looking for a Titleist.
Just sliced golf ball.
Well, happy birthday, Mr. Singer.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Flanagan.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? No business? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Piper. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Great. Microphones are off. Good night.